So we're going to go to Genesis 1. Steve's favorite. Good.
It's an old story.
I used to know it, but I can't remember. But there's something like 67 figures of speech used in the first chapter. I don't remember the exact number, but anyway. Okay, Genesis 1:1. What does it say? In the beginning. And that's why it's called Genesis. You know, the Hebrew names for the books are the first words in each book. So in the case of Genesis, that's what it is, in the beginning. Deuteronomy, it's in Hebrew, it's these be the words. So, but here it's in the beginning, and it says, God created the heaven and the earth. And the word heaven is in the plural, isn't it? It's the heavens, meaning the immensity, the enormity. And that's what it is, to try to communicate how big it was. God created the heavens and the earth, meaning the whole universe. And he created it from what? Nothing. He just created it from nothing. And then everything else from that. Whatever he created in that initial creation, then he made everything from those things. So for instance, he created the whole universe and that contained all the elements. And from the elements, he made all the different things that there are. The living things, which is pretty cool. But, you know, sometimes we forget about, you know, we talk about God, we pray to God, we call him our Father, which is a great thing. But, you know, when you think about him as the Creator, I mean, how much bigger can you get than the Creator? That's it. The Creator is it. He's the beginning and the end of everything. It says that he has no beginning and that he doesn't ever change. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And it tells us that in verse 3. Or it doesn't tell us that, but it tells us again that he made everything from nothing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, through faith or believing, we understand that the worlds or the ages were framed or prepared by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, he made everything from nothing, right? He made everything out of nothing. I don't know how you do that, but he spoke it into being, right? We know that he spoke things into being. Let's go to Amos. Book of Amos in the Old Testament. It's after Joel, which is after
Hosea
and Daniel. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Chapter 4 of Amos.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chapter 4 of
Amos. I did Joel. Sorry.
Yeah, well, better watch it. And verse 13. It says, for lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. How cool is that? You know, how cool is that? He's the creator. It says he formed the mountains and he created the wind. How do you create wind? I mean, we do. Now today, men can do mechanically. They can form wind tunnels. Or if they build certain structures, you know, the wind will blow. But where does the wind, you know, start? It was God, right? He maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord God of hosts is his name. And when it says the Lord God of hosts, that's another title of God. and you know, Lord is here. It's Jehovah, God El or Elohim of hosts, meaning He is master or ruler over everything. There's nothing that He's not the ruler over. So a lot of times the host refers to the sky. The host of the heavens is the stars and the planets and all that stuff. And He's the Lord over it all. How cool. Let's go to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 3. Malachi 3, verse 6. First part of the verse, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." You know, so He said all these things, but He never changes. He's always the same. How great is that? He's eternal. He's the eternal, never-changing Creator. There's nothing bigger. There's not anybody bigger. There's no thing that's bigger than God. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 40. So, you know, when we go to God, our Father, and we pray to God, and we look to God for answers, or we look to God for deliverance, remember, He's the Creator. He's the Lord God of hosts. And He never changes. He's eternal. And the things He does and the things He said, we looked at it last week and the week before, where we talked about how God is righteous. And one of the things about God being righteous is He never lies. He always tells the truth. He's constant. He's reliable. But He's the Creator. So He's all-powerful. He can do it all. Verse 40, chapter 40, verse 21. It says, "Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." Think about that. He sits upon the circle of the earth. This was written almost 3,000 years ago, and it describes the earth as a sphere. He sits on the circle of the earth. "And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." You know, if you think about us in relationship to insects, you know, we really have power over insects, right? If you see a little insect and, you know, you can squish it, right? Or you can be gracious and merciful and let it live, right? We can control insects. We are much mightier than they, although, you know, an ant is supposed to be the strongest thing made for its size, right? It can carry its own weight plus, I don't know, 10 times or something. I don't know. You can look it up. But we're like insects compared to God. That's just to, you know, see, and God is God, and words fall short of describing God. So He has to give us word pictures. He has to give us descriptions of all different sorts, and we piece it together and get an understanding of how great God is, how big He is, how wonderful He is, how loving He is, all the things that He is. But they really, you know, you say God is loving. Does that really describe God in its fullest? Well, partially, you know, but it says He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So now you have a description and you can relate to it. You know, if you were a parent and you had a child and you were willing to sacrifice that child to save somebody else's life. But He gave His Son to save everybody's life. So that gives you an inkling, a much better description and understanding of God's love than just saying, well, God is love, right? And so on and so on. So here it says, "And we are the grasshoppers." That stress reminds me of what? Gung Fu? Grasshopper. Right? The master, the old man, he called the young guy grasshopper. "That stretcheth out..." Okay, and it's God that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain. Wow. And spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. In other words, you know, we're not as mighty and as cool as we think we are. To whom then, let's see, yea, shall not be planted, yea, that they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And meaning, you know, we're only here for a short moment of time. To whom then will we liken me? Or how shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Okay, here he's describing, he says, lift your eyes on high. When you lift your eyes on high, what do you look at? The heavens, right? And behold, who hath created these things? Who created the heavens? We read it in Genesis 1:1. That bringeth out their host by number, referring to the host of heaven, the stars, all the planets. So I looked this stuff up, you know, and it says he calls them by name. Our planet, Earth, is in a solar system, right? There's the sun as the center, and then the, I don't know, it keeps changing how many planets there are, or there are 9 or 10 or whatever. You know, Uranus has been a planet, then not a planet, then a planet. Or whatever. What is it? Pluto? Oh, Pluto. Okay. I thought he was a dog. But anyway. Yeah. So, and then within our solar system, we are in a galaxy. And that galaxy is called what?
Milky Way.
Milky Way. Not Snickers. The Milky Way. And so I looked up the Milky Way, and I know that these are only estimates and guesses. But they guess or estimate that there's between 100 million and 400, not million, 100 billion and 400 billion stars in our galaxy. That's a lot. Its radius, you know what a radius is? It's from the middle to the edge. It's not all the way across from edge to edge, but it's just halfway across. The radius is 52,850 light years. Okay. So a light year is what? It's how much distance you can travel at the speed of light, which is 299,792,458 miles per second, not hour. You know, if you travel 60 miles an hour, you're going a mile a minute, right? Simple math. You're going a mile a minute. If you're going 120 miles an hour, you're going 2 miles a minute, and so on and so on. So you get in a plane and you go, I don't know, what's the fastest the plane can go? 800-900 miles an hour, or, you know, something like that. You know, well, it's still nowhere close to 299,792,458 miles per second. I said that wrong before. 299 million, huh?
It's 186,000 miles per second.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's a polite per year.
Oh, polite. Okay. Anyway, it's fast.
Yes, it's fast.
But man can't approach the speed of light. They've tried to accelerate an atom in a atomic particle accelerator, and the faster it goes, the more weight it gains, so then it slows down. So that's a problem. So when you see these science fiction movies and it talks about intergalactic travel,
no way.
It's impossible. It'll never happen. It's pure fantasy. Okay. And then how many galaxies are there in the universe? Well, huh?
Trillions.
Yeah, they don't really know. They can't count them all because they can't see them all. They don't have the physical apparatus to really see them. But I saw that, let's see, when I was looking all this stuff up, there is one galaxy, and it's called 1C1101 that they saw with the Hubble telescope, which is the biggest one they've seen, and it's 50 times larger than the Milky Way. Think about that, 50 times larger. And it, we just read, what did we just read?
860,000 light years. That's the radius of the Milky Way.
Oh, is that what it is now?
No, that's what you just said.
Okay. Anyway.
We said we just read.
Yeah, what? No, but I was talking about, okay, and then we read that God spans the stars like a curtain. He's named every star. How could you number and name every star when there's billions and trillions? You know, there's about 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And there's not 7 billion names. You know, because how many Johns are there? How many Bills are there? How many Marys are there? How many Muhammads are there? You know, how many Rajas are there and Patels and all this other stuff, right? I mean, you know, we just have a limited. Do you ever get a book of names, just English names? You know, a couple of thousand maybe at the most. And people make them up. You know, you get new ones, but trillions. God named every star. How big is God? How much does he know? It's crazy. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, he gives us stuff to understand. He gave us his word to understand. And then in different places, like in Ephesians and Colossians and places, there are prayers where his prayer for us is that we grow in our wisdom and our spiritual understanding. Because really, the only way you understand this stuff is spiritually, right? When you have the Spirit of God, then you can receive this stuff. You can have a much greater understanding. We'll never completely understand until the Lord comes back. But until that point, the only great, real way of understanding is that we have the Spirit of God and we learn the Word of God, and then he opens our hearts and minds to this stuff. What a cool God. He is the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, which is kind of an interesting way to say it, the ends of the earth. You know, because it's round. It has a bottom and a top, I guess, from our point of view. But when you're in outer space, what's the top, what's the bottom? Let's go to Isaiah 42. There's a lot of stuff in Isaiah about this. And verse 5, it says, thus saith the Lord God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it. Wow, so he created the heavens and stretched them out. I guess when he created the heavens, they weren't that big, and then he stretched them. According to scientists, it's still expanding, right?
Yeah.
It's ever expanding. There's a law in physics or astrophysics called the law of entropy, that everything is in a state of decay. That's a law. So if that's a law and that's true and it rules the whole universe, then evolution really doesn't work, because that goes against that law. Anyway, he created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein. You know, God gave life. It came from God. He gave breath. He gave life. Let's go to Isaiah 45. He did all these things. And then we see in chapter 45, verse 5, he says, I am the Lord, Jehovah, and there is none else. There's no other God. There's no other Jehovah. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. He says it how many times? There's no other God. There's no other creator. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. The word evil there is sorrow. He doesn't create evil. Or it could be translated, bring about a disturbance. I, the Lord, do all these things. And then let's go to Isaiah 48. And verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am first. I am the first. I also am the last. He's the first and last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. Just his right hand spanned the heavens. Well, we just kind of got an idea how big the heavens were. Kind of, sort of, just not even the heavens, but just a couple of galaxies. How big they probably are. So, his right hand spans them, means covers them all, just from the end of his pinky to the end of his thumb, covers the whole universe. That has to be figurative, right? Because God is a spirit. You know, we are so limited in that, you know, when we measure these things, we look at these things, it's physical, what we can quantify, what we can measure. But you can't measure spirit, can you? It says that when Jesus Christ arose, he went through the heavens to the heaven of heavens, wherever that might be. He went through the heaven. He certainly, you know, couldn't have been a physical being in the sense that he traveled those hundred thousands of light years or whatever. How did he get there? God transported him? He transported people in the Bible at different times. Just moved them. They'd be one place, they'd be another. My right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Wow, that's cool. Let's go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Another thing about the creation and God the Creator. It says in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great, and thou art clothed with honor and majesty. You know, as great as man is and the accomplishments of man, of the technology that we have, it's nothing when you think about God. And when you think about how man has dealt with the problems of man throughout history, really hasn't solved any problems at all. Hasn't solved poverty, hasn't solved hunger, hasn't solved disease, hasn't solved crime or wars or anything. None of those things. They all are continuing. And they've continued from the time of the fall of Adam. So as technologically advanced as we might think we are, which is kind of silly when you think about it, because if you grew up, I don't know, I have a book somewhere. It's about people that have lived to 100 years old. And it's probably 10 years old now, that book. So go back 10 years. And then it covers all the advancements that took place in that 100 years, you know. So you have, you know, the coming of age of airplanes and jet planes and rocket ships. But then you have television and radio and you know, goes on and all these different amazing things. And but just even just from the time of most of us, when we were not Dougie, but most of the rest of us, we remember when cell phones first came out and was like, wow. Do you?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
That young.
Okay. I don't remember exactly. I mean, you know, 20 something years ago.
30.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Doing those massive
things.
Oh, yeah, they were in the 90s.
They were car phones.
I'm talking about the first ones that had buttons on it.
And then they had the flip phones and the regular phones and so on. And then, you know, and now what do we have today? I mean, technology advances dramatically over short periods of time, but it still doesn't solve any of the problems of mankind. It doesn't. It never has. It never will. It, you know. So anyway, we can put off death for a couple of years, but eventually you're going to die. Nobody's figured that out yet, have they, except for God and Jesus Christ. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? It's all about God. You know, how great is God? Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire? Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. For thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, and they turn not again to cover the earth. Speaking of water, you know, so all these people that are afraid that the ice caps are going to melt and we're going to be flooded, God already put a limit. He put bounds on them. He that sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills, they drink to every beast of the field. The wild ass quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation which sing among the branches. You know, I watched the show on the Discovery Channel or the Planet Earth, one of those things, and they showed the migrations of the whales and how they go to the Arctic or they go to the South Pole, and they feed, because that's where the krill is, you know, the huge amounts of these micro, you know, tiny little animals. And then they swim to the tropical zones, and they mate. So they eat enough that carries them through for these long migrations, and then they have the animals, and then they take their calves, and they go back to the Arctic areas to feed during those months. And they do this back and forth. And then I just got a book and I started reading about migratory birds. Migratory birds are crazy. So one of them is called, there's I don't know how many different versions or varieties of thrush. There's an Arctic thrush. It's a little tiny bird. And they feed and double their weight so they can make their flight, and they fly from the Arctic to South America, 12,000 miles, and they fly across the ocean, because some of them go down the coast of Africa and then across, and then other ones fly down the East Coast or part of the United States, and then they fly across the Gulf of Mexico. And they make these trips, and they travel 25, 26,000 miles a year. And they have this thing in their brain, is these little metal things in their brain that connect with the magnetic fields of the Earth, and that's how they navigate. And nobody knows how they do it. They study them, and they follow them, and they put these little transmitters on them, and they figure out. And there's some birds that do even further. They fly like 50,000 miles a year. And they do these long trips, and they don't sleep. They travel. You imagine a bird flying across the ocean thousands of miles. How does he do that? And they always go to the right place. And then if the environment changes, they found out that some of them adapt and figure out a way to deal with that, and they find a new place to nest or change. You know, well, how did they do that? Well, God programmed them. You know, and all these hundreds of different species that do this. How many migratory birds are there? You know, and they all have a different place to go and a different way to do it, and yet they figure it out. And they just all evolved this way. It's impossible. Crazy. So, God tells us that. He says, by them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and the wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the cronies. He appointed the moon for the seasons, the sun knoweth is going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth and gather themselves together, and they lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work, and his labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is the great and wide sea, wherein are things that creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. They wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise his name. You know, and God is just our God. He's our Father. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It's pretty cool. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against this? You know, God, the Creator, we just read about the greatness of God. If He is for us, who can be against us? And then it says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You know, and there's a prayer I read Tuesday night when we were studying prayer in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel where David prays to God and he said, you know, God, You did all these things, because it says that God took him out of the sheepcote and as a leader of sheep and made him a leader of men and made him king over His people. And David recognized and he said, you know, God, to Me, these are great things, but for You, it's no big deal. It's just a small thing. It's a small thing for God to do for us. You know, sometimes we think it's so big. But, you know, for Him to heal somebody, for Him to deliver somebody is not a big deal at all. It's only a big deal in our minds. He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, without God, we're nothing. We're a speck in the continuing how many ever millenniums of the universe. We're meaningless. With God, we're the most precious things in the universe. It's quite a difference, isn't it? We get magnified and elevated because of one thing. We believe in Jesus Christ and that God raised Him from the dead. And then we go from people that, you know, have 60, 70, 80 years on the face of the earth and a hole in the ground and corrupt to having eternal life and living forever in that universe with God and whatever He's got in store for us after. What a cool thing. We are holy and without blame before Him. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings and He has seated us in His heavenly realm. However great that is, which we can't even imagine. So, amen and amen. What a great God. There's nothing too big for God, and nothing's bigger than God. God's bigger than it all. He's the Creator. So, Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us, for keeping us safe. And, you know, if I didn't get the scientific facts right, you know, people can look them up, and nobody really knows. We just know it's beyond imagination. But we just know that You're great and You're bigger than it all. You made it all, and we're Your children. And we're joint heirs. So we thank You for this. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.